Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. We have very few Christians who are mourning over their sin and the sin of the church today. And we need to get back to that, led by the Lord. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you have done this past week. We thank you for what you have done today. And we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, help everyone in this room. Help everyone in the room around the world via live streaming to pray. We individually, Lord, confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you, including the sin of gluttony, not the sin of being overweight, not the sin of being obese, for those are just the evidence of sin, not the sin of mutilating our body, trying to cheat and look good even though we are still gluttons. The root sin, the root cause for all of the obesity and overweightness in the church and in our society is because we are a gluttonous people. And for Jesus Christ's sake, we pray that you would have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins. Some of us will never repent until we see it as sin. The problem is so many of us, including myself, for so many years, didn't see it as sin. I should have, but I didn't. And many people don't see it that way now. It used to be a sin, as you know, Lord, in our eyes. But as wicked sinners do, we can change things around and make some sins acceptable while we condemn the sin, other sins. Forgive us of this hypocrisy and this phoniness as well. Help us to pray to you for revival. Help us to seek your face. Help us to humble ourselves and help us, Lord, to turn from our wicked ways, including the sin of the insidious sin of gluttony, as well as all other sins. By your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing it up and bringing it out. And we pray now that you, your Holy Spirit, would take control over us, speak to our hearts, and help everyone to judge themselves and correct themselves and do your will. Please rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from this place and from everyone listening around the world, and surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us the whole arm of God and give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Stop the demonic spirit of Judas in betrayal, which is nothing but a Luciferian, pharaoristic, prideful sin that is designed to hinder your work on earth and your will on earth. So, Lord, help everybody here who is saved to not be ignorant of the devil's devices, to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. We know that you're here. Unfortunately, the devil is here trying to stop us as well. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray that you'll give us the victory over him once again. We pray that you'll save those souls that are lost and revive those of us who are saved by the power of your Holy Spirit. For we are reminded today that it is not by might nor by power, that is our might, our little strength, our little power, but by your Holy Spirit. So fill us and grant us an unction from on high, anointing and unction together, to preach your holy word and to say what needs to be said. In this hour, in Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, John Piper said, Christian fasting at its root is the hunger of a homesickness for God. In this series, beloved, we have looked at the following ways in which we ought to follow Daniel's example during our Daniel fast. Number one, we ought to read and study the Holy Scriptures. Nothing will form you, challenge you, break you, make you, and mold you, and change you like a continual reading of the Word of God. And we ought to study the Word of God, but not read it and study it just because we can have a whole bunch of head knowledge. The church and churches are filled with Christians, and not only pastors, but filled with Christians who know the Bible through and through. Many Christians who have highlighted and underlined and everything else to their Bibles. If you pick it up, you would think they were the greatest Christian in the world, from Genesis to Revelation, and that's good. But we have a set of Christians today who have head knowledge but no heart knowledge, and they are not moved to do anything for God. They can explain almost the whole Bible, but they won't witness and explain the gospel to anybody. And we wonder why our churches are dying. Our churches are dying. It's not because of the pastor's preaching, or the pastor preaching too long or too short, or he's too white, or he's too black, or he's lecturing, he's not hooping. That has nothing to do with it. The problem is we have pastors and associate pastors and people in the pews who will not open their mouths for God Monday through Saturday, will not pass out a gospel tract, will not even invite somebody to church. So we'd rather for you not to even study anymore. You don't need to read the Bible anymore. You need to do what is in the Bible. There was a time, of course, when you were a young Christian, you brought everybody you knew to church, or you witnessed to everybody. Nobody could stop you. Your old auntie sat on the porch smoking a cigarette, said, "Don't let that Bible make you crazy now, boy," when you were trying to witness to her. Some of your religious family members turned against you call you a holy roller just because you were trying to lead them to Jesus. And they looked at you strange. They ostracized you. And you were so fired up and ready to go for Jesus. We have folk today fired up and ready to go for politics, fired up and ready to go gambling, churches, rent buses to go gambling up in Oklahoma, fired up and ready to go on a cruise, fired up and ready to go. But nobody's fired up and ready to go knock on doors and tell somebody about Jesus. And don't poo-poo on knocking on doors. There are people, there are businesses paying good money, paying $14 an hour, $20 an hour, for people to go knock on doors and tell people about their business. So read the Word of God, but remember James when he says, don't just hear the Word, be doers of the Word. Can somebody say amen? Number two, we need to confess our sins. But we quickly need to do number three, and that is repent of our sins. We have a whole lot of confessors, but very few repenters. Number four, spend more time in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Number five, while you're doing the Daniel fast, withdraw from worldly people and worldly pleasures. Now, beloved, on yesterday, we looked at some of the physical benefits of eating plant-based foods and drinking only water for a time. May I encourage you to get a veggie bullet and I forget the other little thing, that this is another great invention, one is for drinking vegetable juice. Another one is for, instead of using pasta and all of that, you can make your own pasta, if you will, with squash, and I think it's yellow squash and zucchini, and some use beets. So get you one of those if you can. While Daniel and his friends initially committed to a 10-day period of this type of fasting, it quickly became the norm for them, it seems. Daniel 1:16 reads, thus Melzar, the eunuch in charge of the Hebrew exiles, took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, that they refused to drink, and gave them pulse. That's the old King James. Rather, vegetables, foods that come out of the ground that God made. The benefits of this diet were so great, and the difference between Daniel and his friends and the others was so profound when compared to the other exiles who ate the king's food, was additionally so stark that the Babylonian leader no longer provided meat for Daniel and his friends. He was convinced that these young men knew what they were doing because they were looking good. And as I have pointed out several times, let me say again, you need to hear me well on this. You women who are concerned about the color in your face, you're putting on all of that makeup, and you're concerned about your beauty. Let me tell you something. You will have a glow, you will get a glow on your face if you, I'm not going to tell you to go on this Daniel fast for the rest of your life, because some people start looking bad if they just eat vegetables. some people need a little turkey or something, or fish or something. But while you're fasting for 21 days or 42 days, which we're looking at doing, definitely 40, you look at yourself in the mirror. In fact, take a picture. And after 21 days, take another picture. You may not even recognize yourself. There's a glow that comes on your face. There's a shine. There's a beautiful clearing, if you will, as we talked about yesterday, a faring of the skin that the vegetables, I can't put my finger on it, but I've noticed it ever since I've been fasting. You have to remember, by the grace of God, I started fasting in my early 20s. And back in those days, I was strong enough to do 40 days with just water. My first fast was like that, 40 days and 40 nights. And then I had to go to juices, 40 days and 40 nights, by the grace of God. And I noticed that. Not only that, my beloved, if you fast regularly, you will look younger than your age. Oh, yes, you will. Everybody knows this. I'm not telling you anything new. Everybody knows this. But you see, the thing about us, we're sinners. We're wicked. We're evil. And as soon as we go back to tasting what we really like and we get a taste of it, we want to keep on keeping on. And we go right back to our ugly little selves. But we ought to be living this as a lifestyle, this Daniel diet. And I'm not going to tell anybody to go without meat altogether. There are some meats that are good, such as salmon, free-range chicken, and all that kind of stuff. Eggs and all that is good. What I'm doing, and I'm not asking you to do it, I'm not suggesting that you do it, but I'm going to continue living this lifestyle with for celebrations. Sunday might be included, but birthdays and holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, I'm going to eat some meat. And Sundays may be included so that I can enjoy a good meal with my family. The problem is we got to make sure we only buy what we need for that meal. Otherwise, I'll be feeding on that for 2 or 3 days, you know, with leftovers and all of that kind of thing. But be that as it may, you know something happens to your skin, man. It's a shine, a glow from the inside shows up, especially if you're prayed up and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're not living in sin, because sin will make you look ugly real bad, okay? Get your heart right with the Lord, as we talked about earlier. From that point on, the boys in the Bible ate vegetables and fruit only, is what we're gathering. Now, it is likely that when Daniel and his friends graduated from the Babylonian Royal School University and became respected advisors in the king's court, they partook of meat, wine, and other choice foods that they had the freedom to prepare according to the Hebrew dietary regulations. But the default for them was plant-based meals and water, kind of like what I'm talking about. But God did not only honor their disciplined lifestyle and commitment to Him with physical blessings. They were granted mental blessings, spiritual blessings, and favor in the sight of their heathen overlords as well. And may I say to you, my beloved, if you have lived your life without favor, if you are living your life right now without favor, I feel very sorry for you. I'm talking to Christians, because you have sin in your life, because you're rebellious and you're stubborn and you're practicing witchcraft, you're acting like you hate God. One of our devotional writers said that you're persecuting Christ, you're persecuting God when you are rebellious and stubborn and full of the spirit of witchcraft. You are stabbing Jesus in the back, not my words, his words, with your rebelliousness and your disobedience and your foolishness. And you cannot have God's favor like that. And God's favor is good. It's very good. I wouldn't want to live life without God's favor. T.D. Jakes is famous for saying that favor ain't fair. And he's saying that it is not fair because we don't deserve it. And those of us who have experienced it, we know doggone well we don't deserve it. It's just that good. It's too good. Somebody had named the organization Too Good. God is too good. I mean, this kind of favor, this kind of mercy, this kind of grace, this kind of love that God puts on you will make a grown man kneel down and shed tears of joy. Will make a grown man tell God, God, this is too much. I can't take it. Stop. Please. My body can't contain this favor. While you're driving down the road, tears will flow because of how good. There's nothing wrong. See, some of you don't know what I'm talking about because you haven't experienced this. You just start praying and start praising God in the car by yourself. There's nobody in the car with you. And tears of joy begin to flow at how gracious, merciful, and how much favor God has bestowed upon you. See, Daniel and the boys had favor. You say, preacher, how can I recognize if I have favor? Watch this. When you walk into a room and people who should have been hostile to you for whatever reason, but when you show up, it seems like God zap them, and instantaneously they start loving you and liking you and doing whatever they can to help you. Can somebody say amen? Don't tell me. I know. Daniel 1:17 reads, as for these four Hebrew children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. God gave it to them. Now, if you had met Daniel and the boys, they would have appeared extremely humble. They wouldn't even feel like they are that blessed and favored by God. They would not be proud and arrogant. You know why? Because when God douses you with that kind of favor and that kind of wisdom, that kind of knowledge and understanding, He gives you also the ability to be humble and meek, because you couldn't even stand yourself with all of those blessings on you. So people will walk away from you saying, wow, man, he's great. Wow, he's wonderful. And the other reason why they wouldn't be proud and arrogant is because they know that it's not them, it's God. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. And Daniel, the Bible continues, had understanding in all visions and dreams. Did he not? Daniel was so awesome that he could not only interpret your dream, if you told him what your dream was about. Daniel was so awesome he could tell you what the dream was that you dreamed that you can't even remember. Much of this was God's special favor on their lives. Do you have God's special favor on your life? You say, well, no, preacher, how can I get it? If I could tell you, I would tell you. All I know is you will not deserve it. Oh, that's all I know. How did you do? I didn't do anything. Every good thing that God has ever done in my life, He did it. He put it in my heart. He put it in my heart to pray every day, to pray without ceasing. Before I was married, I was praying. When I got married, I told my wife, we're going to keep on praying. God chastised me about sin in my life, in my early Christian life, many years ago. Greatest thing that ever happened to me. It wasn't great while I was going through it. But outside of getting saved, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Huh? What did you learn, preacher? I learned obedience. But God did it. God worked it in my heart to be obedient, to keep short sin accounts with God. If that's the way to getting favor, I'm still pointing you to God because He's the one that put it in my heart to do that kind of stuff. I have commanded my family to obey God. I don't know how many times over the years, over 30 years, I've told my wife and children, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here. You can do whatever you want to do, but we're going to serve God in this house. I don't know if that's a part of why He has shown me so much favor. I cannot tell you the formula because I don't know it myself. All I know is you need to pray to God, you need to be obedient to God, and you need to be faithful to God and obey His word. These are the simple, basic principles of the Christian life. None of us deserve favor. All of us deserve hell. When you have it, when God puts it on you, you don't even see it. You don't feel it. You know God is doing something with you. But it's going to be a while after a while, by and by, before you know how God used you because you couldn't even handle it. Most folks are going to die before they realize how God really used them. Has Daniel been used by God in your life? I'm sure he has. Since you were a little child, you were taught faith because of a man who was faithful and had faith in God, Daniel. Almost everybody knows about Daniel now. You can ask an atheist, which man prayed 3 times a day? Oh, yeah, Daniel in the Bible. You can ask a Muslim that and they'll tell you. Some of it was also due to their fasting type lifestyle. Ron Lagerquist, author of Fasting to Freedom, and other books on health issues, writes, it is well known that thinking is sharper when hungry. It wasn't well known to me. but evidently it's well known to them, these people who think and read more than I do. As you begin your fast, he says, you may feel as though your mind is foggy. That is because toxins in the blood are interfering with fasting's ability to enhance brain processes. But as the fast progresses and the body detoxifies, fog patches diminish, leaving days of bright awareness. And this is nothing new to those who have fasted, at least for 21 days. Your mind becomes unfoggy. You're clearer. Not only are you clearer in your thinking, you're more energetic in your thinking and in your being. Most of the fog, he says, is at the start of the fasting journey. And it takes some perseverance to experience the joyous clarity that can come during the fasting state. When the University of Chicago students fasted for 7 days, mental alertness increased and their progress in schoolwork was cited as remarkable. He's not saying this, but one of the reasons why the blood is flowing real good in your body, it's not getting blocked up and clogged up with all of the junk that we eat. Potato chips, Cheetos, the Hostess cakes, Little Debbie's, all that sugar, all the little candy that is made. I was shocked and amazed. The other day, there's a company in Texas that makes, all they do is make candy. And I was amazed at the millions of pieces that they were making. People still eat a whole lot of candy, a whole lot of junk. But I was once ignorant. Before I got saved, I was ignorant. Back in the day, there was nothing for us. My beloved, no wonder many of us have diabetes. Down in the hood, down on the dirt roads of North Kekeleke. Oh, there was nothing to go get a grape soda. Shasta! Oh, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Oh, you were really cooking, boy, if you had a grape soda. Shasta! What? But that was not all. Pickled pig feet in the jar, sitting up there for days, calling your name. Mr. Combo pulled that pig foot out of there. Shh. What? You talk about some eating, some gnawing on almost raw pig feet. Oh, but we weren't done. You had to top it off with the Hostess Twinkies. And if not a Twinkie, a pack of Twinkies. There's two Twinkies now. Oftentimes it would be a honey bun. What? Are you kidding me? That was our lunch. What are you talking about? All the junk we ate. And then this is what we would all pick up. These are staples. Now laters, the big old square candies. They were so big in your mouth, they called them now laters. You can suck on them now. They put them in little wax paper so that when the teacher told you to take it out your mouth, you can wrap it up in the wax paper and eat it later. That's a load of sugar, my beloved. Just killing us, and we didn't even know it. It's amazing how the body is made by God, because all of us should be dead and gone. Because that was daily. And then we made some things up. White bread called Wonder Bread. Y'all don't hear me. Where we would find us a banana and put mayonnaise on the bread, and we were so poor, we would get a banana, and you know, you get a banana for 5 cents or whatever back in those days. And we'd slice that banana up. You got yourself a banana sandwich. What? Are you kidding me? Another big one. We were so poor, sometimes we couldn't get a soda. We couldn't get a Coke or whatever. Couldn't even buy a pack of Kool-Aid, so poor sometimes. So we went into the faucet. You know the best water comes out of the faucet outside. Why, I don't know. But you put your mouth up to the spigot, and you just go to town. But every now and then we'll get a glass. And, you know, back in those days, everybody had sugar. And we'll put sugar in the water. This thick at the bottom. Some of us made almost a half a glass of sugar. Y'all don't hear me. You wonder why you got sugar diabetes? That's why. Stir it up. Put it in the freezer. Behind grandmommy's back, or auntie's back, or your mother's back. Stir it up so they can't see the sugar in it. But it's still set. Has so much sugar still settled. Now, I'm not talking about brown sugar. I'm talking white sugar. And we call it sugar water. Who are you talking about? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You don't know. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you were missing if you didn't have any sugar water. And there was always somebody in the neighborhood known as the Kool-Aid man. Can throw together some Kool-Aid in 15 seconds. A whole jug. And we'll kill it dead. It's instantaneously filled with sugar. Some packs already has some sugar in it, but we will add sugar to it. It's like syrup. Drinking syrup. Some of you folks are smiling. I wish I was back in those days. No, you don't. You'll be dead. Sugar water. Made all kinds of, and don't mention bologna sandwiches. Oh my soul. Bologna sandwiches. So, ladies and gentlemen, some of us have sugar diabetes, and diabetes, type 2 diabetes or whatever, because of how we were permitted to eat when we were children. And maybe not even permitted sometimes. Just the parents didn't even know what you were eating. Made up stuff. The universal testimony of fasters is that thinking and focus is enhanced, end of quote. But if you eat all that junk, you're going to be sluggish in your mind. And many college students, they make it only because they're young. And some of you are making it because you're young. You can't do that. Listen to me very carefully. I'm going to tell you something that my blessed father and mother did not tell me. They didn't know to tell me. I'm not mad at them. But I'm going to tell you something that my parents didn't tell me, and most parents didn't tell their children. You need to start eating right now, because everything you're eating right now, the doctor's going to tell you to stop eating it once you hit around 42. What's the first thing the doctors tell us today? You need to start eating more vegetables and more fruits. You need to stop eating all that meat and all those starches and a potato salad. And you got to leave that alone now. Wouldn't it be nice if our parents who heard this at 40-something told the children, listen, stop eating all that mess now so that you don't have to go through what I'm going through now. Amen, somebody. And then he goes on to state that fasting periods are a great time for deep thought. I believe that I wrote a book or two while fasting. And one book after fasting, I believe, many, many years ago. The study of God's Word and mentally creative work can be done while fasting. And who knows, you might be able to go deeper while fasting in your writing and in your thinking than when you're not. I believe that that is true. While keeping the spiritual component of your fast paramount, which you need to choose to do, because that can get away from you, I hope you are taking advantage of the clarity of mind that comes through fasting and experience some of the same mental benefits of Daniel and his friends. Maybe not the same, but if you pray, if you remain obedient, God will give you some abilities and insight into things. It's just amazing how he does that. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for how you're leading us to deal with this issue, this sin of gluttony. We pray that you'll break the band of wickedness in all of our lives, all of us who have allowed ourselves to go in a way that's not good. Forgive us of our sins of gluttony. Help us to repent of it, and help us to repent by showing the fruits of our repentance by eating more fruit and vegetables and changing our diet permanently going forward. For your glory, praise, and honor, and for our testimony's sake before a dying and lost world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now some practical information regarding the Daniel fast. This information comes from the Daniel Fast book. The plan, the Daniel plan, 40 Days to a Healthier Life by Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman. Speaking of favor, Rick Warren does not know how much God has used him. He doesn't know. He may have a little idea, but he doesn't know in the personal lives of people all over the world. And so that's an illustration. If you met him, he would just be a regular guy. He doesn't think of himself highly, but God has used him and has shown him favor. Okay, be that as it may, the book guides readers to take the Daniel fast diet and continue it as a lifestyle. The authors write, "Cooking is a revolutionary act. We have unfortunately abdicated the essential act of cooking." And those of you who love to eat like me, you know that cooking is a beautiful thing. Before you know it, if you're not careful, you'll become a chef. In my case, helping others make sure that it's done right. The unique act that makes us human to the food industry. We have become food consumers, not food producers or makers. And I'm adding this, we have a situation now where you can go to a store and pick up a ready-made meal that's supposed to be healthy for you, even though you don't know whose hands has been on it or whether or not they have the flu. Not only that, there, and I've never tried this. I think I'm going to try all of them here shortly. There are companies now that will send you your food already ready to go. You have to cook it in a box. And you and your wife are supposed to romantically get in the kitchen and kiss each other and do things like that to each other, like the Italians, whatever. And you're supposed to have such a romantic, fun time cooking the food. Which you could have just gone down to the grocery store and got the same thing and much cheaper. Not too long ago, I was riding down the street in my little town and somebody put up a store where Murphy's, called Murphy's Pizza. And I immediately told the folks in the car with me that's going to go out of business pretty soon. Because their philosophy is they make the pizza for you, but they don't cook it. Are you kidding me? That does not make any sense to me. I told the people in the car that that one is not going to make it. Now I guess it's making it in some places, but not in my town. Anyway, in a few months it was shut down. But that's what's happening today. People are making your food for you and giving it to you to cook. Wow. We cannot be that lazy. We have outsourced, they continue, our cooking to corporations. We need to bring the cooking back home, and this is very true. And they go on to say, cooking can be fun, freeing, and simple. The Daniel Plan is designed to cut cravings, satisfy your appetite, and teach you to listen to your body. How many of you know that God will speak to you about your body? And God will have your body to speak to you. How many times has God told you don't take those pills the doctor gave you? I'm not talking about audibly from heaven, but the Lord spoke to your heart in a still small voice, don't take those pills anymore. You don't need that. You need to stop being a glutton. All these fancy diabetes pills came out, you know, these wonderful, great names, Invokina, Bakabuka, whatever. And they all tell you, you know, this is wonderful, it'll bring down your sugar, it may cause you to lose weight. And then at the end, somebody in a deep voice talking real fast says, these pills may kill you, they may cause you to be suicidal, and so forth and so on. Well, now, there's class action suits against these diabetes pill makers. Thousands of people have died. Thousands have had their legs amputated. Not because of the diabetes, but because of the medications that went into their bodies and messed their bodies up. You better listen to God. You better listen to the Holy Spirit of God. You better listen to your own body. God will tell you what to do and what not to do. Your body will tell you what to do and not to and what not to do. You know it, but you don't want to listen to it. You trust your doctor more than you trust God. When the prophet, the man of God, stands up and says, now, you shouldn't be out there mutilating yourself, cutting your stomach, or putting a belt around your stomach. God, did God tell you to do that in the Bible? If you get overweight, go down to the doctor so you can wrap a band around your stomach on the inside of your body. Did God tell you to do that? No. Don't do that then. God made your body perfect. You don't need to be, first of all, cut open and then a rubber band put around your belly. You need to stop eating so doggone much. And you go talk with the people. In fact, you don't even have to talk with them. Look at them. They look funny. Okay? They're still trying to be gluttons. They're not losing the weight as they thought they would. Because, watch this, your body gets used to that mess. They got a skinny neck and a big head and a big body still. They look funny. They're pooping on themselves because they have no self-control because God did not make that. God did not tell you to do that. You're trying to take a shortcut. You're trying to be cute. And you want it real fast because you don't want to be embarrassed at the family reunion. You don't want to be embarrassed at the school reunion. You don't want to be embarrassed at the funeral. The shocking thing for you, you're going to go through all of that thousands of dollars doing that. You're still going to be plump, if not fat, if not obese. You're never going to tell anybody you had the operation. You're going to tell a lie saying you did it through diet. And when you get to the funeral, when you get to the family reunion, when you get to the school reunion, everybody there is going to be fat. So don't do stupid things like that. God didn't tell you to do that. Well, I'm trying to help myself. No, you help yourself by pushing and do some pushaways. Push away from that table. You mean, he goes on to say, that was not Rick, as you can tell, Rick Warren, that's me. You may not believe it yet, but your body will naturally start rejecting the junk, the sugary processed and refined foods, and you will begin to crave real food. As you slowly introduce real, whole, fresh food, your body will respond automatically and heal, and chronic symptoms will fade into the background, I'm adding that, and to the memory. The Daniel plan introduces you to a whole new world of fresh fruits and vegetables. Beans, whole grains, nuts, seeds. And then he goes on to add, for those who are going to eat a little meat and a little animal products, eggs, chicken, fish, lean or naturally raised animal products, and spices. You say, preacher, what are you going to eat today? Right now, my daughter, Danny, my oldest daughter, did something for me some while back, and I forgot about it until the day. I love chicken wings, so I can't eat any chicken wings right now. And so we found something, and it might have been in this book, where we made cauliflower chicken wings, which I know that sounds strange. We put some cauliflower in the oven or frying pan or whatever. But anyway, I have some cauliflower with some Sriracha sauce on top of it in the oven right now. I also have a bowl of okra, kale, broccoli, onions, garlic, and spinach in the oven right now. I didn't cook it on the stove. Didn't have it cooked on the stove. It's in the oven. And I'm starting to like this kind of food. I'm amazed at that cauliflower. Wow, man, looks like a brain or something. God created that. So anyway, he goes back, they go and say, as we go back to them, we are deeply concerned about our fat and sick nation, about our children's and your children's future. The best medicine for this ailment is something so simple. That's the thing about God. Things with God are very simple. And they go on to say, so easy, so healing, so affordable, and so accessible to almost everyone. And that is cooking real whole food in the home with your family and friends. What a beautiful thing. Amen, somebody. And may I add, listen, all of us love that quick little thing we can pick up in the drive-thru, man, and keep on getting up. There's no better place to eat food than behind the wheel while you're driving. No better place. The food just seems like it tastes better when you're driving down the road in the car. And I don't know how many accidents have been caused by that, but I've never heard of eating under the influence or something like that. Being under the influence of eating. Eating while driving caused the accident. I'm sure accidents have been caused that way. There's nothing like swinging around Chick-fil-A any time of day. And you don't need to go into Chick-fil-A. You don't need to, unless you just want to sit down and with your family. But if you want something quick and good and present it to you with a good attitude, my pleasure, I don't care how long the Chick-fil-A line is, just get in it. You'll be in and out very quickly. There's nothing like it. I love it. We all love it. But the truth is, minus Chick-fil-A maybe, and a few other places, the truth is you don't know what those people are doing to your food back there. You don't know if they wipe snot on your food, or they got the flu, or they got sniffles, or they got AIDS. You don't know what. You don't know what people are doing with your food. And there are some devilish people that they would not do what you would never think about doing it, but they will. So be careful. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that you've imparted to us. Help us to take heed, Lord, to what we have heard. Help us not only to be hearers, but doers. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, in this series, as we focus on overcoming the wicked sin of gluttony, and treating our bodies right and managing our bodies as God intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, that is our spiritual life. Even those of you who are fit, who eat right, and who exercise regularly must still address the condition of your soul. You may keep your body in perfect condition till the day you die, but you will still die one day. We all will die, and the only thing that will matter is the condition of your soul. Is your soul in shape? Is your soul in right standing with God? If you were to die today, where would your soul go? Heaven or hell? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today, so that you can be saved from sin and the consequences of sin, which is hell. He alone can save your soul, put you in right standing with God, and ensure that you do not perish in that awful place called hell. Now, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's how you can trust him today. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Your body is decaying. I don't care how good you treat your body, it is dying on its bones. You're dying. I'm dying. As we are here today, we're both dying. All of us are dying, whether you like it or not. You're aging. You're decaying as I speak. And then if we die unsaved, if we die and we have never trusted Christ as Savior, our soul, our eternal soul, will go to an eternal hell. And that leads me to my third point. You need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You say, but I just got through working at the Salvation Army. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. But I go to church every Sunday morning. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. But I'm a preacher, I'm a deacon, I'm a trustee in the church. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to hell today when you die. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, for Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He preached more on hell than most preachers today, and he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He said these words, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is a place of a darkness that you will feel. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. Hell is a place of gnashing of teeth. It's going to be so painful, so ugly. Hell is an awful place. And that is the bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the same hellfire and brimstone preacher, said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today and save your soul, and he will save you. For Romans 10:9 and verse 13 tells us that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It is as simple as that. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You can get saved right where you're sitting or where you're standing. Some of you are at the gym right now. You can get off that treadmill and get on the path to eternal life by trusting Christ as Savior right where you are. You don't have to give a dime to the ministry. This ministry or any other ministry. You don't have to give any money to any preacher or to any church to be saved. You don't have to work. You can work 365 days at the Salvation Army and still die and go to hell. That will not save you. Only faith in Christ. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal damnation in hell, and saved to heaven to be with God and Jesus forever. What a time is going to be. So, beloved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I have failed you. I have done evil in your sight through lying, through lust of people and things, through dishonoring my parents, and through stealing and other sins. Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my wretched soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent and turn away from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, as your Savior and Lord. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know, or you can contact us on whatever platform you're on and whatever email is before you. Many people write us on many different emails and other platforms. And so whatever's before you, touch base with us so that we can touch base with you. We have some free material, literature, that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is our prayer. Let's all stand.